You know, Moses gets credit for some big stuff. Parting the Red Sea and bringing the law of God to the people and leading them to the promised land. Big stuff. But if you actually sit down and read the stories about Moses in the Bible, you'll find that he spent almost all of his time as a leader struggling with the people, struggling to convince the people of Israel to do the right thing. Moses would tell the people of Israel to share with one another, but they didn't trust anybody, and so they hoarded everything in sight. He told them to settle their disagreements amicably, but every little conflict would bring the whole nation to a grinding halt. Whenever supplies were getting tight, people would turn on each other, forgetting that they were supposed to be a beloved community, walking through life as best they could together, relying on one another. But as hard as it could be sometimes on those days, as hard as it could be, Moses did get that big stuff too. He did have amazing, unrepeatable moments of glory with God. Like on the day when the Israelites found a high mountain in the desert, veiled with fire and smoke, and the voice of God calling out from inside of the mountain, calling Moses to climb up to the top. And so Moses left the people behind on the plain, and there on the very top of that mountain, Moses entered into the presence of the living God, face to face. There on that mountain, for 40 days, the world fell away, and Moses' mind was opened like a flower by the words of God. And what God was speaking, what God was saying to Moses, they were the answers. God was giving Moses the answers to all of the questions that they had been wrestling with as a people. How do we respond when people hurt or threaten us? How should we treat the poor and the helpless? How do we treat the foreigners living among us? How should we set up our system of commerce? How do we balance private needs with the common good? God was telling him the answers to human life lived well together. They were words sweeter than honey and more precious than gold, carved indelibly onto tablets of stone, written by the very hand of God. Moses took the tablets in his arms and hurried down the mountain. He hurried down the mountain to share this with the people. But as he neared the bottom, he came to a bluff with a clear view across the plain, and from afar off, Moses could see the people of Israel, and he could see that they were doing something. And what they were doing made Moses so angry that he shattered the stone tablets and threw them to the ground. You see, the people, those vexing people, they had made themselves a little statue of a cow. They made it out of gold so that it would look nice and fancy, and they were worshiping it. They were burning sacrifices to it and doing these little fondling, humiliating dances in front of it, as if for this ugly, tacky, little cow. But before Moses could say a word, before he could take a step, he felt the anger of God come roiling down the mountain, crashing behind him. And this wave that was about to sweep away the people of Israel first crashed on top of Moses. You can see what they're doing, but do you know what they're saying? They're saying, "This is our God who brought us up out of the land of Egypt." That cow, it's just a lump of metal they made out of their cheap jewelry. And they're leaving me for that? Now leave me alone so that my anger can burn hot against them, and I will put an end to them. And out of you Moses, I will make a new nation, a great nation. God was offering to wipe out the people. He's offering to wipe out all the people who had been vexing Moses at every turn, and to make of Moses a new nation, his own nation. It would be a nation filled with people who were like Moses, who thought like him and behaved like him and believed in God like him. They would even look like him. It is a stunning offer, a remarkable threat. But what Moses does is even more remarkable than that. Moses says, no. Moses says, no. He begs God to change her mind and remain in relationship with the people of Israel, the people who had just moments before disappointed Moses so bitterly. Moses begs on their behalf to allow him to live with those people, people who didn't agree with the direction that he was leading the nation. Moses begs God to allow him to keep working with those who said that they were his allies but really didn't walk the talk. Moses put aside his pride and humbled himself, choosing to continue to live and work alongside people with whom he simply did not agree. People who had done wrong, who had disappointed him so bitterly. Now, Moses gets a lot of credit for doing things that he really didn't do. Moses did not free the people from slavery in Egypt. That was God's doing. Moses did not give the people the law of God. That was God's doing. But Moses is still a great leader. Moses is a great leader because time and again, when the people of Israel would do the wrong thing, he chose to humble himself and continue to live and work alongside them anyway. And without the humility of Moses, the people wouldn't have reached the promised land. Without the humility of Moses, the people would not even have continued to exist. They would have been wiped out at the foot of Mount Sinai. There would be no David and Jonathan. There would be no Amos and Isaiah. There would be no Joseph and Mary. The history of the people of God hinged on that moment, hinged on Moses' conviction that it is better to live and work alongside people who did not agree with him, that it is better to remain in relationship with someone even when they have been wrong, even when they have disappointed. It is better. That is foundational to our faith. There could not be a people of God if it were not true that we must remain in relationship, even when we passionately disagree, especially when we passionately disagree. We must remain in close relationship. That is what is called a covenant. A covenant is a bond between people that is not based upon agreeing on things and thinking the same things and looking the same way or loving the same way. A covenant is an oath to remain in relationship even when someone has done wrong, even when it is hard, even when we can't see our way clear to the future. Covenants, you know, are the only kind of agreement that God enters into. And that's what we try to do here at church. We try to practice covenant together. So today on Christian Service and Outreach Sunday, we invite you to do some covenant together, to be active people of God together. We have four different ways that you can sign up. No preparation, no advance notice required. We have four ways that you can do this. One, if you are worried that this nation still might yet end up attacking Syria, or if you are worried that it was foolish for us to have stayed our hands so long, we invite you to write to the president. Outside, after worship, we will have tables set up where you can write letters. We will gather them up and mail them together, knowing that you are sitting next to people with whom you do not agree, and knowing that we will be a stronger church for having sat down together and done that. Or if you are petrified that this good earth is being destroyed by rampant petrochemical use, or if you think that this has all really been blown out of proportion, we invite you to go to our Caring for Creation class on the fourth floor and discuss and learn with other Christians what our faith has to do with the way that we live in the face of the climate. And know that by talking together face to face, we will be a stronger church. Or you could sign a petition to raise the minimum wage, or you might decide that doing so will simply hurt business and deepen poverty. Go to the fourth floor also and discuss and learn. Be with one another in the face of important issues and know that it will make us a stronger church. Or maybe you just want to roll up your sleeves and do something. Enough with the talking. We have that too in the garden. Outside, to pick beans, to be fed to needy women in the city. That's church. That's what we do. We gather together and we passionately disagree about what the Bible means for our lives today, and then we ask one another about our families, about how the treatment is going, when the graduation is, when that anniversary is coming up. Because we care about one another. We form committees, and we disagree over finances, and we fall on opposite sides of thorny political issues, and we worry over how we'll plan the clothing drive and how we're going to get all the work done, and then we sing and praise God all together because we wish to do so alongside one another. We sit at table and break bread and tell stories, and we breathe. And we weep, and we pray, and we live, and we die together as a beloved people of God. It's how life should be. Come live it with us.